This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Chicago, the grudge matches on the gridirons might be gone, but get ready to hit the ball and touch them all at your local Chevy dealer, where you'll find the real MVPs of SUVs. If you're thinking about rounding third and heading for home in a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to take the next step and banner up. Need the power and durability of a Silverado? The all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer? The spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban? Or the sporty city-friendly Trax? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to win the game like a pro. So don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate the nearest dealer, and start shopping online. Things are warming up out there, and you need a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chevy, together, let's drive.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Broadcasting from the WEEI studios, powered by Verizon, 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston, and Odyssey Sports Station.
They're very concerned about the cultural aspect, and that trumps character aspect. I want to reiterate that. Character, to me, when we start talking about kids' character when they're 22 and 23, that's tough. It's cultural. What do you like? Not are you a bad person, because we all change all the time.
This is WEEI Afternoons.
With Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
That was the voice of Tom E. Curran, NBC Sports Boston, from his appearance with Jones and Keith earlier today. And he was touching on something that we mentioned yesterday here on WEEI Afternoons, but I want to revisit because I think it was quite clear in the moves, the additions the Patriots made yesterday, and maybe some of the moves they didn't make that some of us would have wanted them to make from afar, that there is a certain culture that is being sought by Mike Vrabel. He's putting his imprint on this roster. And I think you saw that with, you mentioned it earlier, Ted Johnson, Andy Hart here, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, some older guys, some real professionals. I even saw some criticisms of this on Twitter last night. A lot of teams don't like to sign guys to big deals like the Patriots signed some of these guys, the Carlton Davises and the Harold Landrys of the world. But I think it's clear Mike Vrabel has a certain vision, a certain blueprint he's trying to establish in terms of culture, what Tom Curran was just talking about. Whether that'll work or not, I don't know. But do you agree, Ted, that that was a kind of clear part of the guys they wanted to bring in?
Yeah, ideally, free agents, you're getting guys going into their second deals, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, most guys, if they're in the second or round or later, you can get them after their fourth year. Milton Williams was available going after his fourth year, so he's going into his fifth year. So you want to get guys going into their fifth year, ideally. But if you can't, then you know what? You want guys that are still relatively young if you can. Carlton Davis is going into his eighth year. So these are guys that have had a couple contracts already, but still have gas left in their tank.
Yeah.
And still have something to offer for the next 2 to 3 years. And so, you know, Morgan Moses is going into his 12th year. But you go, okay, if he gives you a year or two, that's all you want. But these are guys that are kind of, you know, with all these guys up in age, there's enough data, enough information out there that you kind of know what you're getting. It's not a surprise, right? And so, and a lot of these coaches have coached these guys or coached that know guys that have coached these guys. And so there's enough information on them that you can make a more informed decision on them. And so clearly Mike's bringing in guys that love football. He wants to bring in guys that have a high compete level, that football is very, very important to them. And when you get older guys like this that are pros that have stuck around, that have still been playing at a high level, that tells the staff and Mike Vrabel that these are guys are worth investing in. And so that's, you got to bring in older veterans. And there, you might overpay for some of these guys, but to establish a culture, that's what you have to do.
Fitzy, could that culture word also be the explanation for maybe why guys like, I don't know, Deebo Samuel, DK Metcalf, Laremy Tunsil, guys that some have lusted after and said, why weren't the Patriots in on that guy for that price? Could that be the answer? Do they not fit the culture?
I don't think so with Deebo, because by all accounts, even though he got a little cranky towards the end of his time in San Francisco, everyone seems to be kind of high up on him as a good locker room guy. With DK Metcalf, absolutely. Laremy Tunsil, I feel like the jury is sort of out on him. I don't understand why Houston moved on from him. So there could be a hit or miss quotient to those three guys in particular. But just to echo Ted's point, priority number one yesterday was to shore up the defense and bring prime of their life, overcompensated, legitimate football talent to the field. In lockstep with that, or just riding tandem, maybe a step behind, Ted, was bringing in the high culture guys. Because, yes, text line, I was reading yesterday when I said, outgo all the Super Bowl rings, you'll have no champions left. My apologies. Yes, Joe Cardona is still on the roster. That said, minimal impact otherwise. You don't really have a lot of culture guys from the good old days, Andy, when winning was the culture. Now you've just got a team looking for a new identity. Yep. And a very barrel-chested, aggressive coach can only establish so much. You need people in the locker room to police themselves. So that's why you got these high-character guys.
And what better way to identify those culture guys than a head coach who's a former three-time champion, right? Mm-hmm. And so even though there's no players that are left over from those championships, you have a coach who was part of building those championships here. So he knows exactly what it takes. He knows exactly what a championship locker room looks like. And so he's going to go out and he's going to identify the players that he thinks will best, you know, duplicate those locker rooms that he was part of in those early 2000s.
Yes, Dan. Ted, I would trust a three-time Super Bowl champion with my life personally, so I agree.
Oh, boy,
suck
see?
Up.
There you go, Dano.
I love these conversations, and it kind of actually carries over from the previous one we were just having about the Bruins and leadership and culture and being a captain. And, you know, we talked about this a long time ago, last summer some point, with Alex Cora, who will start joining us soon every Wednesday here on WEEI Afternoons. But this idea of a clubhouse in baseball, yeah. Oh, they got a good clubhouse.
Cora talks about adults in the room.
Absolutely.
Culture in every sport.
But he also acknowledges sometimes you can have a good clubhouse and suck because you don't have enough talent. Yeah. And sometimes you can have a bad clubhouse and be productive because you got a boatload of talent. And I love the idea coming off last year because I do think the culture got sideways a little bit last year. I won't say it was horrific, but the Jelani Tavai stuff, the comments he made, all the receivers at various points kind of popping off.
Godchow.
There were a lot of...
I mean, you had Juwan Bentley. It was getting after guys in a team meeting when he wasn't even playing.
Yeah. So
he was basically being a captain from the back row there because he was still coming off of an injury. Like, that's not good.
Yeah.
So guys were getting arrested. There's a lot of stuff.
Oh, there was a lot of a lot none of stuff. It was massive. It was all a lot of little things, stuff. All consistent.
Facebook lives.
Yeah. All along the way, there were consistent little hiccups of culture, I guess you could call them.
They would say things aren't buttoned down.
But I do wonder on some level, too, we can talk about individual players, and it's great if he's adding individual players who are better in that area. But isn't the biggest change probably going to come from him being better in that area than maybe the tone that was being set by Gerard Mayo and the culture that was being set and the idea that they, from the get-go, remember that first couple weeks with Judon and Godchow and contracts, like, oh, we want our players to have opinions and share them publicly.
Yeah.
Except they kind of went sideways and then it was like, oh, we'd like to keep some things in-house. There was an inconsistency there. that I don't think will be, yeah, be
the,
there.
The vision from the head coach last year, with all due respect, it just wasn't a clear one, and it right. wasn't the right one. Whatever vision that he was trying to project, it wasn't the right one. Just it being like, different than Bill Belichick, Fitzy, doesn't mean that's what you need to do to build a good culture, right?
No, sir. And sorry for stepping on your toes there, Ted, but that to me, that was five different cultures that just crashed at an intersection where the stoplight went out. Like, it was collaborative, but he had to be slightly Belichickian. But they had fewer hard-ass vibes, but we wanted the players to speak out. And we were taking them to the hill, and we were tough as nails, but we were also empathetic. Like, it was a mess of epic emotional proportions all season long that just continued to spiral as the season progressed or regressed, if you will.
Which is why I've always liked, I don't know if you guys noticed this, there was a few of these features during Super Bowl week about, they were asking Andy Reid about culture and Patrick Mahomes about his culture and style and whatever. And it was basically portrayed as, in Kansas City, Reid has always said, be yourself, be an individual, unless that hinders our team. So you can do whatever you want to have personality, say, right up until the point where it crosses a line and it becomes an issue for the football team. And I think that's a pretty easy way to put it, right? Like, it doesn't have to be a hard and fast rule. We don't talk about teammates or contracts or this. It can be yourself right up until you cross a line and hurt somebody else in this locker room or right? And I think Vrabel's probably going to be similar to that, right? I don't think he's going to say, shut up, no one can talk, can't do anything. But I think he's not going to expect what happened last year either.
Yeah, no, clearly. And, you know, another big tone setter for culture is all the assistant coaches.
Yep.
Are there any of them from last year here? Not hardly any. There's a couple. But the point is, those guys can also police their players. Each position group has a coach that I think is partly responsible for setting the tone for his position group and making sure that those guys stay in line. They didn't have the best quality of coaching last year on a young team. So to me, it was like a double whammy, where this year I think you're going to have better players, more professionals in there with actual professional coaches. Thus, you'll get a more professional working environment. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of that kiddie stuff, all those off-the-field stuff, I think that's going to go by the wayside now.
Speaking of true professionals, we heard from Jermaine Wiggins last hour, and he had a great plan. And if he can somehow come up with a plan that they get Tyler Warren and A.J. Brown, sign me up. I love it.
You need somebody to trade back with. That's all.
And that is where Kurt in Tampa calls in and wants to let us know what he thinks the Patriots should do with the number four pick. What's up, Kurt?
Hey, what's going on, guys? The number four pick, you guys actually just mentioned him. I think just a true football player. He wears number 44 for Penn State because of John Riggins. Tyler Warren, man. I don't think he's going to be the next Gronk, but I think he can be close to it. He's such a versatile player. If you watch his interviews, he's already a locker room guy. He's just a true professional. And I think, honestly, I don't think he's going to be a miss. Like, someone bringing in like a Travis Hunter, I honestly think that he might be a bust. I just think the size of this guy, and then playing tight ends, and then you can take Hunter Henry and then maybe trade him and get some more draft picks with him. And also, you know, the O-line needs help, and the tight end is part of that offensive line. He's 6'6", 260 pounds. Just didn't know what your guys' thoughts on that number four pick and getting him for that.
Kurt, I think it's a smart call.
He's a hoss.
I think it's a smart call. See, some people say, you know, you can it's an overreach to maybe take him at four. Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's an overreach to take Will Campbell at four. So it's kind of like, you know, I made this argument before. I think the tight end is partly responsible for, you know, edge blocking, right? I mean, you know, it's his number one job is to catch balls, but you get my point. They can help. A guy like Tyler Warren can help if you have deficiencies at tackle, help you block and keep the quarterback protected. I love the kid, Tyler Warren. If Wiggy's, what he threw out there, if the Patriots could find a trade partner to trade back just a few spots and get, so Tyler Warren's supposed to go anywhere from like 7 to 12. I mean, the Patriots are picking up four,
right?
I don't think it's the craziest thing to pick Tyler Warren at number four.
I don't either. I think Curran might have been the first guy that threw that out there for us about a month ago. It was like, you know, Tyler Warren, tight end, Patriots.
Yeah, I wonder where he heard that.
Did he steal it from you?
I don't know.
Wow, okay.
I can't remember who stole it from who. I don't know.
All right, somebody stole it. They said Tyler Warren. Yeah. But I liked what Kurt said, and this is something I've been wanting to talk about at some point, and we will get to a full segment on this at some point, the bust factor. sort of that idea of, because I agree with what Kurt said about Tyler Warren. Let's just say he's not the next Gronk, and he's not the next greatest tight end ever. Mm-hmm. It will stun me if Tyler Warren doesn't have a 10-year, productive, good, valuable NFL career.
And in a with a couple all-pro seasons in there.
See, I don't even know. I'm not even assured of that. I'm just telling you what I don't think will happen. In 3 years, we'll be saying, oh, my God, that team took that player at that spot. He's done nothing. He's a bust. He's a bum. I don't think there's any shot that Tyler Warren is a bust in the NFL. And there's risk with some of these other guys. Like Travis Hunter, I'd put closer to bust value than I would Tyler Warren.
And now with our two corners, it's almost like, well, you almost feel like Travis Hunter is going to play wide receiver. He's not going to play both ways.
If he's going to be here, he's going to be a wide receiver and then maybe a little
bit of
sprinkle
on
defense.
So I would view him more as a receiver in the eyes of Patriots people.
Yes, this.
Quick, DraftKings odds, +185 for the pass to land Travis Hunter right now.
+185, okay, because Cam Ward is really taking off as the favorite to go number one overall, the quarterback out of Miami. And then various permutations after that I've seen in different places.
So are we seriously talking ourselves into Tyler Warren over Travis Hunter now?
I would.
Okay, I don't think... with the Patriots, can you imagine?
I don't know how fans would react to that.
I think
Travis Hunter's the Heisman winner, the best athlete in the draft, generational athlete.
I don't know how you pass up on it.
And he plays wide receiver, and everybody wants a wide receiver.
So to me, you take Travis Hunter.
So you're drafting for need.
You know,
or is he just the better player?
No, he's the best player available. He's considered a better player than Tyler Warren.
Yes.
At a position of need. So
think he's a wide receiver? Because that's that other debate.
For this team, as it's currently constructed, yes.
Okay. If you had to grade him, a number grade, like 95 out of, 90 out of 100, whatever.
He's a 94.
At wide receiver.
Sure.
What about cornerback? Is he the same?
Yes.
So he's like, you see him the same?
I do.
Okay. That's the interesting part I have, but I love the Tyler Warren talk. I think Tyler Warren could be an absolute star in the NFL. The value, but I also go back to, if he's going to go 7, take him at 4. Like, 3 spots? We're going to haggle over 3 spots if we think he's the best player available. In a draft where maybe he's now one of the blue chippers. There's not a lot of blue chippers. Maybe he's one of the blue chippers. So we'll continue Patriots talk, draft talk, number 4 overall pick, Tyler Warren. But also up next, it's been a couple days. We haven't had one in a while. We got a TED talk. The only person in this room, as we like to say, who's been in the NFL, signed contracts, knows about money and agents and offers and free agency and all those things. Ted Johnson gives us a TED Talk on NFL free agency. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, and for the final time today, sadly, Dan Ball has what's trending.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Free agency continues for the New England Patriots. They've been busy. Yesterday's reported signings include linebackers Robert Spillane and Harold Landry, cornerback Carlton Davis, offensive tackle Morgan Moses, defensive tackles Milton Williams and Kyrus Tonga, wide receiver Mac Hollins, and quarterback Josh Dobbs. The team also re-signed tight end Austin Hooper and traded defensive tackle Devon Godshaw. All told, New England is reported to have spent $282 million so far, with nearly $164 million in guaranteed money ahead of the start of free agency. Other news from around the NFL, the Falcons are expected to sign defensive end Leonard Floyd, who was just released by the 49ers. Corner Mike Hughes is also headed back to Atlanta on a 3-year deal. The Saints agreed to terms with wide receiver Dante Pettis on a 1-year contract extension. The Ravens kept a major part of their dominant rushing attack when they re-signed 5-time Pro Bowl fullback Patrick Ricard. All-pro returner Kevontae Turpin, who is set to become a restricted free agent, and the Cowboys reached a 3-year, $18 million agreement, and the Rams plan to release wide receiver Cooper Kupp when the NFL's new season starts on Wednesday if they can't find a trade partner. The Celtics moved to 5-1 on their current 7-game homestand with a 114-108 win over the Utah Jazz last night. Sam Hauser put up a career-high 33 points and made 9 three-pointers. The C's homestand wraps up tomorrow night against the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Bruins, meanwhile, host the Florida Panthers tonight at TD Garden. Brad Marchand practiced with the Panthers this morning, but Panthers head coach Paul Maurice said Marchand remains week to week and that the team hopes he'll be able to play towards the end of the regular season. The Red Sox lost to the Philadelphia Phillies 18-8 in spring training play earlier today. Lucas Giolito made his spring debut and gave up a pair of runs in one inning of work. He left the game with hamstring tightness, and Alex Cora said he will get an MRI on that issue tomorrow. And finally, Tiger Woods announced that he underwent surgery for a ruptured Achilles tendon this morning. He is expected to make a full recovery, according to the doctor who performed the surgery. It's great to have goals. It's even better to have experts help you attain those goals. Experts in weight loss. Awaken180weightloss.com. I'm Dan Ball. This is Trending Now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoons coming up right after this.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. With our biggest sale ever, furnaces from $39 a month, furnace and air conditioning combos from $59 a month, plus 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Four Seasons guaranteed to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000 guaranteed. So call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You can stream the show or listen on demand anytime. Just download the Odyssey app.
That's AUDACY.
Save WEEI as a favorite and listen wherever you go. Now, more of WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Yeah, happy 311 day, guys.
311? I could play this sitting on the beach having a drink. Maybe one with an umbrella.
Great song.
In it. It's no Jason Isabel, but it's okay.
Isabel.
Isabel.
Yes.
Sorry, I'll get it right. Sorry. I don't mean to offend you. In case no one out there realizes, Jason Isbell is Stiz's favorite artist by far.
By far.
Following him all over New England.
Drove to
sending
New York.
Me his new album. You got to listen to this. It's the greatest thing ever. So I listen
to it. Is
that
who this is?
No, this is 311, but I'm a big Jason Isbell fan and drove to New York to see him.
Which is he part of 311?
Nope.
No.
Totally unrelated.
Oh, okay, very good.
We are playing the band 311 because today is 311.
Gotcha.
Date style.
See what they did
but
there.
It's the remake of a remake of a remake, right? Who was saying the song originally?
Oh, I think this is a 311
original. No, this is a remake.
Oh, this is guys, this is a remake of a song by The Cure.
Thank you, attaboy.
Well, I did not know
there
that.
There you go, Fitzy. It's
The Cure.
Every song feels like it's a remake of a remake. And the Cure song
is
probably
The Cure
a remake.
Is more cowbell.
All right, or more calls. 617-779-7937. Cam in Wilmington. What are your thoughts on the Patriots' draft possibilities at the number four pick?
What's up, guys? Speaking of cures, I want to talk about the cure for pass blocking here. And I think a lot of people have forgot about a prospect, Kelvin Banks. It was up, you know, late last year. Everybody was talking about it's him or Campbell going back and forth. And then there was reports coming out that they were both guards. Well, when they both measured in, Campbell checked that box of potentially being a guard. But Kelvin Banks came in at 6'5", 311 with 33.5-inch arms and 10 3/8-inch hands. So, like, he's the guy that I want to take there. I mean, he's a left tackle. He played at Texas. He has great tape. And, yeah, he might not be, you know, this agile, you know, outside run scheme blocker, but I think he fits perfectly for what Josh McDaniels wants to do. I'm okay even taking him right at four because I think that's your biggest need, and he's plug and play day one. He's going to be an elite tackle for years to come.
All right, thanks for the call, Cam. It is funny that Kelvin Banks was a talking point there for it felt like some period of time, and he definitely now feels like the forgotten guy, and I don't know if that's measurables, if that's tape, as Cam brought up. He's out of the buzz. He's out of the buzz mix early there.
I'm looking at Lance Zierlein, a recap of him, strengths and weaknesses.
Yep.
And you just look at the guy. He's a monster. First thing of his weaknesses, lacks desired thickness in his limbs. It's like, what? What are you talking about?
His arms aren't big?
His arms are jacked. His legs are jacked. What are you talking about?
I sometimes think... how big do people have to be now?
Oh, my God!
I also think sometimes those people have to fill out the space, and they just, they got to write something. And they go with it and run with it, and who knows what
labors to keep power from compressing his edges.
What the hell does that mean?
You know, just edge rushers that, he can't... He gets knocked backwards.
Oh, okay.
Is what I think that means. I mean,
they say it that way. It was much simpler when you said
it. Because it doesn't sound professional.
Hoity-toity scouty.
Those scouts got to sound very scouty.
All right, back to the phone lines. Ryan in Boston wants to disagree with Ted. Yeah, you tell him, Ryan. What do you got to say to Ted?
Hey, I called the other day about Travis Hunter. I don't see him as the best. I mean, I don't want to sound like Shime here. I don't see him as the best corner in the draft. He plays against what, the Jalen Polks of college football. I'm supposed to be impressed by that. I mean, yeah, he's flashy. I'm not saying that. I just don't think he's worth the four pick. I get he's a buff, Ted. I get your bias, but I understand. And just a quick second point. I don't know what you guys said something about Wiggy and the Eagles and A.J. Brown. I don't know. I'm on night, so I wasn't listening to the morning show this morning. But I was thinking about it yesterday. Do you think they'd have any interest in a pick swap, 4 for 32 in the third, and then you get A.J. Brown, and then you can work your way back into the first later in? What do you guys think? I'll hang up.
All right, thanks for the call, Ryan. So you're trading 4 to the Eagles. You get 32 and A.J. Brown?
Zero chance that
I would do that.
Happening. Zero chance.
No one has really told me the root of this idea that A.J. Brown's going to get traded by the Super Bowl champions.
Yeah, there's no merit to it.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun on the radio.
We want it so bad. It's because A.J. Brown played for Vrabes, and Vrabes and the general manager for Tennessee weren't on the same page on that trade.
Yeah.
Vrabes didn't want him, so it's like, I mean, heck, I think the midday show Keith and Jones had a guy on from Philly, and they're like, Eagles don't want to trade A.J.
Right,
Brown.
Right.
Elliott Shore Park.
No desire on their part to trade A.J. Brown. So, you know, look, it feels – I mean, this is where we're at. We're desperate for a T. Higgins. They don't even want to give up T. Higgins.
Yeah.
You know, we're desperate for an A.J. Brown. They don't even want to give up A.J. Brown.
There's a reason.
We want
– good.
Yeah, but that sounds desperate.
We're
the Patriots, yeah.
We're absolutely desperate.
We're so damn desperate, man.
Have you seen the wide receiver position in recent years?
Dude,
we are.
I get it,
deep
but
desperate.
Man.
Deep desperate.
We are dying man crawling across the desert.
The Eagles will be stupid to trade him.
Yes. Yeah, I don't see the reasoning being.
They have the perfect offense right now. Perfect. Deep threat.
Defense pretty good, too.
Mid threat. Running game. All of it. Tight ends. Forget it.
All right. It is time. It's 5:30. We've done this a number of different times on here on WEEI Afternoons. Today, we're going to talk free agency with the only person in the room who knows anything about big contracts. It's time for a TED Talk.
It's time for a TED Talk.
There's a football player, that Ted Johnson.
Yeah. Smack down. He hit a pothole that time in the form of Ted Johnson.
Stories from on and off the field from three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson.
Ted Johnson scrapes right into Jerome Bettis' face and puts him on his back.
This guy is going to be one of the best inside linebackers in football.
On WEEI Afternoons.
Hey, take it, Teddy.
Hey. Thank you, Mr. Teddy. John Madden. Yes, sir? Yep. All right, here we go, boys. You know, so we, you guys talking before the show, said, hey, Teddy, if you ever, you know, you want to talk about your free agency experience? I have never been a free agent. So,
all right, segment's done.
I played for 10 years. But I, in my 10 years, I was just adding it up. In my 10 years, I did 5 different contracts.
Oh, wow.
And I did one with Parcells, one with Pete Carroll, and then 3 with Bill Belichick. Boom, like in 22, 23, 24.
Can I already jump in with a question? You told us you want questions.
Yeah.
So you said Parcells, Carroll, Belichick.
Correct.
Is that how you saw it? You were dealing with the head coach? Because in there you
had
Pioli or Wozenchuk?
No.
Okay.
Under Bill Parcells, they had Andy Wozenchuk who did contracts. Yes. Under Pete Carroll, they had... I forget who it was.
It was Andy still.
It might have been Andy Wozenchuk who did contracts. Under Bill Belichick, it was Bill Belichick.
Oh.
That was the difference. That was where I went from being a sport I loved and got paid for to a very much a business when Belichick came. But so 10 years, never hit free agency. I had an opportunity maybe once after the 2001 season, but going into the 2002 season I was told that I could go look for a trade. And I did. I went to Green Bay. I got on a flight. Bo Pelini was the linebackers coach.
Okay.
Bo Pelini was my linebackers coach under Pete Carroll. And so I went out there and kind of flirted with them a little bit. Ended up signing back with the Patriots. Well, Ted, why would you sign back with the Patriots if you weren't happier? And this is what I tell people. So, you know, people want to know, what are you looking for when you're negotiating a contract? You're probably looking for, you're kind of looking for the same thing every time, except your priorities are probably different from early in your career versus the end of your career.
Okay.
Early in your career, you want to make money. You want to set yourself up. That is a very much a kind of priority. Number one is to get a big contract. Later in life, when I did a contract with Belichick in 02, 03, 04, my priorities were winning, legacy, and a family. So I was starting a family here. I didn't want to move. I married someone who had 2 kids from a previous marriage. I didn't want to uproot the kids. Mm-hmm. So family was important. Legacy was important. I played in an era in the late 90s, early 2000s, where it was important. If you could play your whole career in one place, that meant something back then. Not so much maybe now, but that was important to me. And just quality of life, playing for a team in a town, more for a town in a city, in a region that loved football, and it was a great place to raise kids, and that was Boston for sure. So that was a priority later in my career. When I first did my first big contract was 1998. It was about money, more or less, and I told you the story, so people will go, ask me about my agent all the time. I told my agent basically what I wanted the deal to be, and what was happening was, it was if you guys remember in 1998, Parcells goes to the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
A restricted free agent for us was
Curtis Martin.
He signs Curtis to a restricted deal. If you remember,
oh yeah, poison pill.
Big Jinx. Deal, right? It was like. So it made it almost impossible for the Patriots to so what did that mean? That left opportunities for their other two kind of big off-season priorities, Willie McGinnis and Ted Johnson.
Yes, sir.
So that left more money for those guys.
Cha-ching.
Right? We were trying to figure out kind of the parameters, me and my agent, you know, what I thought I should get paid. Willie Mack signs a deal, 5 years, 25. And I said to my agent, I'll never forget, I was playing with my good friend Barry out there playing golf out there on Nantucket or somewhere, or Vineyard, I remember. I'll never forget. And my agent's calling me and saying, hey, we're getting down to it. What's your final hour? It's like, I want the Willie McGinnis deal. Sure enough, I got the Willie McGinnis deal, almost to a T, all right? The signing bonuses might have been a little different, but that was that was my big contract, and it was 5 years, $25 million back in 1998 with an $8 million signing bonus. And that was very similar to Willie Mack. And for about, a couple months, I had the biggest contract for, you know, linebackers. And I don't know, Ray Lewis, the 2 months later, gets a bigger one or a year later. So so I got a little taste of what that felt like for back in that season. But that was, I never went to free agency. I can't imagine what it was. But guys prioritize more than anything. What was important to me was that I had a chance to win. I wanted to win. That was the most important thing. Playing football and not winning, it was, you know, it just wasn't worth it as much. And so that was my number one priority. And then legacy, family, quality of life. So in those contracts I did with Bill in 02, 03, 04, I was concerned more about winning and my family.
5 and 25, $8 million signing bonus. Doesn't sound like there were a lot of weird, because we're in that midst of Curtis Martin and poison pills and weird contracts. You didn't have a lot of that. You just kind of kept it simple with your
very
agent.
Simple.
And this is the number.
And that very simple. And they agreed to it. It wasn't until Bill came here, then it was, well, you only played, you know, 50% of the snaps last year because I tore my knee up.
Right.
They don't care about that. And you know, we want to, if you get 40% of playing time, we want to give you this bonus. If you get 42%, we'll give you enough. If you get 45%, it's like, are you kidding me? It was unbelievable. So, and then I'd never forget, they want you to take a pay cut.
Oh, yeah.
And so I had to, okay, or else. They don't tell you the else. So what if I don't take the pay cut? Well, Ted, you know, I mean, they could. Okay, so you have to decide whether or not, how important is winning, how important is, you know, and I'll never forget having a conversation with both Lawyer Malloy and Ty Law. Teddy, Ted, why are you giving them back money? I'm like, guys, I don't have, you know, I was tearing biceps. Yep. I was missing time with the knee. I don't have multiple Pro Bowls. I don't have leverage like you have. And so I didn't have the leverage to push back. So either I refuse their offer and then leave, and then who knows what's out there, or I accept their offer. I accepted their offer 3 times in a row. Reduced offers, believe it or not. And you know what? At the end of the day, I don't regret it. I got 2 more Super Bowls out of it. And that was, I remember talking to Drew about maybe becoming a free agent, going over to Buffalo. They were interested.
Yeah.
But there was no guarantee what I would get in salary from them either. So I don't know. I decided to stay here, and it was very difficult. It wasn't a good 02 season with me and Bill, but we managed to work it out. I was the captain in 03 and 04. Didn't get paid what I wanted, but we were able to put it behind me, and I won 2 more Super Bowls. And so at the end of the day, Teddy 3 rings sounds a lot better than Teddy 1 ring, right?
It does. It
so
sounds a lot better.
You just you change your priorities as you get older. That was me. That's not everybody, but most guys, that's how it is.
So you've referenced Lawyer Malloy, Ty Law saying something to you about taking pay cuts
in the locker room,
or
yeah.
Drew talking. How much is there of that? Players talking about money, or maybe a player, you're going to Green Bay. Should I do it?
I'll say this. Most players don't talk about their contracts with each other.
No.
I was surprised even Lawyer brought it up to me.
Yeah.
It was, but he was going through his own thing too, right? If you remember.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
So they were, Bill was leveraging him. And so he mentioned it to me. And that's when I said to him, I don't have the same pelts on the wall that you have, Lawyer. And so I didn't feel like I was in a position of strength like he did. And so, I made a different decision, but my guess is if I stuck to my guns, Bill maybe probably would have done the same thing to me. Would have cut me with a week left in training camp.
Yep.
And then I would have been left with no chair to sit in when the music stopped. That's the feeling I was getting. He was ruthless. This is what happened. So we win the Super Bowl in 2001. We come back, we're going to the parade, the morning of the parade for our first parade. Right? We just won the Super Bowl in 01, greatest show on turf, beat them. Bill calls me into his office before we go on to the buses to go downtown to do the parade. He's like, Ted, can I see you for just a few minutes? Hey, don't, you know, we got to put guys on this list. It doesn't mean anything. It's just, but I just got to tell you that, you know, we're putting you on the expansion draft.
Mm-hmm.
But just don't read into it. We got to put names on there.
Right.
You know, McGinnis was on there too. And I'll just never forget. That was, you couldn't have saved that, huh, until after the parade, Bill. You couldn't have just maybe waited so I could go out there and enjoy the parade. You had to tell me right before I stepped on that bus, huh? Appreciate that, bud. So That's the hard, cold business of football.
And before we go to break, the question that everybody always wants to ask athletes. So you signed your 5-year, $25 million, $8 million signing bonus Did you do anything crazy? Most money you ever had in your life at that point.
Can I borrow some money?
You know, I did. I never had like a nice car. So I went and got myself my first really nice car.
What'd you get?
Can you guys take a guess what it might be? A luxury.
So I'm going to
go. Luxury sedan.
Jaguar.
Mercedes.
Jaguar, sedan. Any other guesses?
Porsche.
Porsche.
Lamborghini.
It's a sedan, so not a sports car.
Mercedes.
Maserati.
Oh,
Mercedes,
Bentley.
Maserati, Bentley. Okay, you're all wrong. A Beamer.
Okay.
A 745 Li.
Ooh, sharp, nice. Though. Those BMWs are sharp.
It's got a tan interior.
What color?
Navy exterior, tan interior with tinted windows.
Ooh,
yeah,
sweet.
Yeah.
I bet you Lawyer and Ty and those guys like that, too. They looked at you like, ooh.
Well, yeah, because they laughed at me my first year. I kept the same Ford F-150 I did. Right. I had my whole year in college.
And now you were big time. Lane. Yeah, let's go. WEE, thank you for that TED Talk. Appreciate the honesty and how it evolved over the course of your contracts with the different head coaches and regimes in New England. Up next here on WEEI Afternoon, we get to odds and ends, where we're going to talk about a really interesting story that popped up. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
WEEI Afternoons here, coming up on Odds and Ends. Odds and Ends is sponsored by Cars for Kids, your trusted charity for car donations. Also accepts donations of boats, RVs, motorcycles, and real estate. Call today, 877-CARS-4-KIDS. That's Cars with a K. Yes, Ted.
NFL Network, they have a mock draft, and they have Abdul Carter going to the Patriots for it.
I'll take it.
This is going to be fun. If Fitzy, right? I mean, this is going to be if two quarterbacks go, teams trade up to go, or just, you know, two of the top three teams before the Patriots pick quarterbacks. Oh my goodness, it is going to be fun to see what happens.
But the beauty is, so I have Abdul Carter. I kind of have Travis Hunter just because I'm intrigued by the overall athleticism. You know, I have Will Campbell. I think we've added Tyler Warren. Fitzy, we're getting to the point where I'm getting enough numbers that I can be happy with somebody they take. I'm starting to grow that group. It's not just one fixation.
No, the Patriots are not going to just settle when it comes to pick number four. They're going to get somebody that's going to have an immediate impact in 2025, rally the troops, fire up the fans, and be a contributing member to the Foxborough football squad for years to come. It should have been the number one pick. I just want to say that one more time. I had to squeeze that out. But that said, they're gonna score it for.
So odds and ends today. I was listening to Tommy Curran on Jones and Keefe. Tommy Curran will join us on Thursday, as he does each and every Thursday. And a reminder, we'll be at Scores tomorrow, where Scal will join us in person. Come down.
Yeah, come hang out.
Hang out with Scal.
Andy
Ted
and
Johnson.
Fitzy will love to talk to you, man.
What? I thought it was Ted Johnson who was the ambassador of here in Patriot Nation.
I'll wave to you.
But Tom Curran said something very matter-of-factly in his interview with Jones and Keefe that one of the co-hosts immediately disagreed with, and let's just say I think I'm with the host on this one.
But I think he's better. Certainly trends better than Baker Mayfield. Yeah, he's better than Baker Mayfield.
No, he's not.
But what else?
Not right now.
So they're talking about Drake May.
Yeah.
Drake May is better than Baker Mayfield right now. Is that a fact? Is that a strange opinion, or is that just flat out wrong?
To fairness to Tom, I feel like he kind of backpedaled on that.
Well, he kind of
a little bit.
So I think he has the potential to be. I think Drake May, what I've seen so far, he has definitely the ability to pass Baker Mayfield. He is not as good as Baker Mayfield is right now, though.
And that's where Tom started, Fitzy. He said he's trending better than Baker Mayfield. And then he said, well, heck, he's better than him. And Rich Keefe immediately pounced.
Of course.
And now I think they have a bit of a bet going on for the course of the season, or they're going to somehow wager who's better over the course of the year, Baker Mayfield or Drake May. It'll be worth watching. And because I did want to recall, rookie year, Baker Mayfield was good. He had 28 touchdown passes as a rookie. Then the bottom kind of fell out a couple years later, and then he was bouncing around the league.
He got hosed.
Now he's back. Yeah, absolutely. It's Cleveland. Things go bad. But that was an interesting one. We did need to remind everybody as well before we get to our buddy Christian Arkin. Celtic City, second episode aired last night. You're going to give us a recap. You haven't watched it yet.
I'll give you a recap tomorrow if you want.
And I got to sign up for Max so I can watch the first two episodes.
I'll watch
now.
It tonight, and I'll report back tomorrow.
As I continue to fall behind on Celtic City.
But it's getting rave reviews from everybody.
It is. But I'm watching Celtic now, and it's hard to watch Celtic. Why'd they put it on during the basketball season? Couldn't they have done it in the summer?
They probably, you know what? Hey, do you don't think with the sale of the Celtics right now, this is like the perfect time to be putting that out there?
Maybe.
You don't think this helps the sale of the Boston Celtics?
You're buying the legacy, the legend.
Well, you are.
The history.
Your money
is like real estate.
Is partly paying for all that legacy.
Yes, Dan Ball.
On the topic of why the hell is this airing now, remember how Netflix was putting together a 2024 Red Sox documentary?
Yes.
That starts airing in mid-April of the 2025 season.
So I have to make a decision every night. Do I watch the documentary or do I watch the real game?
Do you watch St. Bregman or last year's debacle?
St. Bregman. Hell yeah. Christian Arcan, what's on
playoffs
tonight?
Too. Well, a couple of things. Number one, on the anniversary of Rudy Gobert touching all the microphones, that's the five-year anniversary today. You're talking about the best time for these documentaries? It's during the pandemic.
That was prime documentary season.
That was the best thing that came out of that.
So Last Dance.
It was an inside job.
Last Dance, Tiger King. I mean, there were so many. The Tinder Tiger Swindler, King. All those ones. There were a lot of really good ones.
Documentarians were the ones who caused the pandemic.
I think maybe we should look into this. Yes, I think someone should
I learned from Jones. That. Any Kiefer Madness is always an inside job, so I follow the Jones trail. What do you got tonight?
We got Chris Mason joining the show at 7:30.
Nice.
We'll continue to react to all the goings-on in the NFL. A lot of Bruins that we're going to try and squeeze into this first half hour here before they play this game against the Panthers tonight, because I still think that's a major, major story. And these delays with the Red Sox now officially have me concerned.
Yes, we did a little anti-buzz segment here on WEEI Afternoons. Speaking of anti-buzz, your guy Travis Hunter.
Yes.
Do you still want him with the Patriots as a wide receiver? Does them bringing in Carlton Davis as a cornerback change anything for you? Do you think he's a number four overall pick wide receiver?
I would trade up for him.
Okay.
I'm not kidding. I would. I would see if Cleveland would be interested. I don't know. They just traded for Pickett, so they might not. But I would see if they're interested in Milton and a couple picks and you know, things like that. And try and move up. Try and move up to any of those spots. Because I think Hunter makes the most sense for them. They're going all defense, so Carter would be nice. Mason Graham, I don't think they're going to draft anymore. Now they just signed a DT. Yep. So he makes the most sense. And he's right there, and you should trade up for him and make sure there's no doubt that that's who you wanted, that's who you targeted, and that's who you end up getting.
Hey!
Thank you.
It's not a homer take if it's the right take, man.
That's right.
Well said by two buffs in the room. Two very objective buffs. All right, stick around, everybody, for the Christian Arcan Show, 6 to 10 p.m. Chris Mason, one of the nicest guys on the Patriots beat. And I don't say that about everybody. You know that I don't like a lot of people.
That's true. You hate basically every guy on the beat.
Chris Mason?
And they hate you, too.
That is fair. And I don't think he hates me, but I know I don't hate him.
I'll ask him tonight.
Good guy. So stick around, Chris Mason, on the Christian Arcan Show tomorrow. 2 to 6 live from Scores down by the Garden. Come on down. We'll have Ted Johnson. We will have Brian Scalabrine around 5 o'clock. Come have some drinks. Prep for a massive basketball game, Thunder Celtics. Until then, that's going to do it for WEEI Afternoons. Fitzy, Johnson, Hart, Stiz, Ball, out.
Spoiler alert, tomorrow, Department of Giant Erections.
And I'll leave it at that.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
StreetEasy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almacead. Almacead is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almacead. Find out more and see the university studies at almacead.com. That's A-L-M-A-S-E-D.com.